Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. The Lord builds His church. We just have to be faithful. And that's really kind of where I'm going to with the message this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Let me read the text, give you the title, and we'll jump right in. Galatians 5, 13 and 14 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The sermon today is, I believe we are called to serve. I believe we are called to serve. This is a message I wanted to preach last week, and the Lord gave me last week's message instead. So I've had this kind of rolling around in my heart and in my head, and I want to give it to you today. It should not be long. I'm not carrying a 100-pound backpack this week, thankfully. And my shoulders are still recovering from last week. But I'm glad about what God did last week in many of your hearts. But the sermon today is, I believe we are called to serve. We're going to be talking about something that we've been talking a lot about in announcements and kind of in passing and things like that. But really, it's going to include serving all over, but it's really going to focus also on serving in your local church. And your local church is Coastline Baptist Church. I believe that we are called to serve. Let's pray together. And as I pray, you pray and ask God to free you from any distractions and to open up your heart to hear the word of God. Father, we love you. We need you. Bless this sermon. Bless our time together. Bless your word as it's preached. Lord, bless me. Lord, your humble servant. Lord, I know I have nothing to offer but what your word says. So please give me the words to say. Give me power from on high. Help me to believe what I'm saying. Help me to, Lord, help mine unbelief, God. Lord, you can speak through me, and I ask you to do that this morning here in your church. We love you. We need you. Help us to all walk away from today's sermon, God, with a heart to serve, with a desire to love and serve this church and one another. We love you and we need you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Salvation is not the end of your story. Here's what I mean by that. Many times I've talked to many people who have trusted Christ, who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, for a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, for an eternal home in a real place called heaven. We sang it this morning, hell lost another one, I am free. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are what we like to say, what the scriptures say, we're saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved from our sins. And many times people think, hey, I got saved, and that's my Christian walk. Now I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But salvation is not the end of your faith. It is not the end of your Christian walk, the end of your story. No, salvation is the beginning of your service. It's not the end of your story. It's the beginning of your service. God didn't save you. God didn't save me just so we could sit in a seat. God didn't save you so you could just sit on the sidelines and watch other people serve. No, He saved you from hell. He saved you from sin. He saved you from yourself so you could stand up and serve. I believe that we are called to serve. Galatians 5, we read the scriptures. Galatians 5, Paul is explaining to that church at Galatia, the Galatian Christians, that our freedom in Christ is not for our own comfort. In our human nature, in our natural state, in our flesh, many times we say, hey, I'm saved. I get to go to heaven when I die now because of what Jesus did for me. Now, man, I'm safe. I'm good. I'm good to go. Now I can kind of go through life, make my money, get my job, have my relationship, do what I want. So our freedom in Christ was never meant to be for our own comfort. No, it is for the purpose of loving and serving others. And you can say, well, what about serving God? Serving God is serving others. And serving others is serving God. Jesus said, when you love the least of these, you love me. When you serve the least of these, you serve me. Our freedom in Jesus Christ, and are you glad for the freedom in Jesus Christ this morning, church? And by the way, let me say this. I meant to say it at the beginning, and I'm glad I remembered it now. And every pastor, preacher in the room knows this. It's much easier to preach when the people respond. Okay? Now listen, I'm not saying I want you to fake it, be like, I don't agree with this guy, but amen. Don't do that. I don't care if you say amen. I don't care if you clap. I've been in churches where they shout amen, they say amen, they say, hey, that's right, or they all clap. I don't care what you do, but let's practice real quick before I go any further. If I say something, some of you are new to church, and that's okay. If I say something that you agree with that is truth, man, is truth, it's okay for you to say amen or you can clap. I don't care. But let me just practice real quick, okay? God is good.
Amen.
Wow, that's good, though. That's pretty good. Now, listen, if I say, man, I'm a real bad sinner, I don't need you all to say amen to that, Pastor. No. But let's work together, because I promise I'll preach a little bit better if I know that it's connecting with you. And I know I can look in your eyes and know, but let's work together. This is, and also for visitors that are coming, people that come for the first time to Coastline, I know that, as far as you've told me, that you've been helped by the preaching of God's words here at Coastline. But a guest coming in, man, if a church is involved and say, hey, that's right, preacher, hey, whatever, I don't care if you clap, whatever. But if we work together, it's going to help me. I promise it won't make me go longer. It'll probably make me go shorter. So there you go. There's a little special gift for you. Yeah. Wow. Okay. No. Our freedom in Christ is not for our own comfort. It's for the purpose of loving and serving others, especially in the local church. And also in everyday life. Also in wherever we go. I grew up in church. I had the gift and privilege from the Lord to have a family that grew up in church. And really, in Baptist churches, you know, I grew up in it. Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. We had a lot to do. And I grew up, from a practical standpoint, serving the Lord in the local church. I remember as a young boy, our family was, we signed up for a few months, or I don't remember this far back if it was just our job, but we would go to our little Baptist church in Westfield, Massachusetts, Pioneer Valley Baptist Church, my first church ever that I got saved in and that I got baptized in. And it was our family's job. We offered and volunteered to clean the church. So on a Friday or a Saturday evening, it'd be me and my older brother, my younger sister, who didn't do anything, by the way. So if you see her next time, she would say, hey, Pastor said that you never helped clean the church when you were young. Please tell her that for me, my little sister. And my mom and dad, and we'd go to Pioneer Valley Baptist Church. They had chairs kind of like this, but a light blue color, and we would vacuum the floors, and we would pick up garbage. And we'd make sure that there was what was needed in the bathrooms for toilet paper and soap. And we'd go to the nursery and clean up and make sure the toys were all wiped out. And as a young kid, I remember serving in church. As I got older and I became a preteen teenager, we had what they call a bus ministry in downtown Holyoke, Massachusetts. Downtown Holyoke is a rough, rough neighborhood. And they got people all packed in there. But what we would do, we would take a big school bus and paint it white and put the church name on the side. And we would drive down every single Sunday morning and pick up kids. My father-in-law, when my training started in ministry was under my father-in-law there. He worked with all the children's ministries. And as a young teenager, I'd go on Saturdays, we'd go and visit all the kids that wanted to come to church. Knock on their door in some of those terribly dangerous neighborhoods where these kids were growing up. And we'd knock on the door with a little flyer that said, tomorrow's, you know, Candy Sunday or Tic Tac Sunday or whatever Sunday, some special day, that whatever we could do to try to get these kids to come and hear about Jesus. We'd knock on the door, we'd go up these 5-6 floors of houses and these dirty apartment buildings, and we'd knock, and the kid would be like, oh, Donald, brother, they call me brother Donald, you're here, oh, hey guys, how you doing, you coming to church tomorrow, I'll be here at 9 a.m. to knock on your door, wake you up, and yeah, we're coming. And I did every single Saturday and Sunday for years. And we get there Sunday morning when everybody's probably going to bed after partying all night, and now I'm there with my little suit and tie, knocking downtown Holyoke on doors, waking kids up, and they're ready to go to church with the little Bible, and they come down the stairs, and we'd stand on the side of the row with 15, 20, sometimes during vacation Bible school, we'd have 60, 70, 80 young people waiting for the bus. The bus would come, and we'd all pile on that bus together, and we'd have them sit still, and we would do songs with them. We'd sing songs where I'd say one part, and then they'd repeat it. All these kids from rough neighborhoods and rough homes that don't have anything, and we would just pour the love of Jesus into them. Yeah. Woo! Man, great memories of serving the Lord. And then obviously through college, I did the same type of thing. And then I was a children's pastor when I got out of college at my home church in Holyoke. And then I became a youth pastor. So, but all in my life, I've had the opportunity and privilege to serve the Lord. Did I always do it with the right heart? No. Did I always do it with a willing spirit? No. Especially when I was young and I was, hey, you're going to do this. Okay. But I'm telling you, I don't regret a moment of it. Amen. I don't regret, oh my goodness, every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in college. It was much longer. It was 10 a.m. to, my goodness, 4 or 5 p.m. there in California at Bible College. I don't regret missing those Saturdays where I could have been doing something else. Because lives were changed.
Amen.
And people were helped. Little kids gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. And God did amazing work because people encouraged me to serve the Lord. A pastor said, hey, let's get out there and serve God. And church, that's the message today for you is I believe that we, all of us, no matter how young or old, we're called to serve. And in this passage, Galatians 5, I'm going to break it down a little bit. There's three things I see in it. And the first thing I see is this. At the beginning of that scripture, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Number one, I see the call to serve in the local church. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We have been set free from sin. Amen, church? We have been set free from sin. Not to be spectators. Not to be people that sit, but to be servants. We don't like that word servant. We think it takes, but listen, all it means in a spiritual sense is we have given our lives to serve God and serve others. We were not set free. Jesus didn't die on a cross, a bloody death on a cross, so that we could sit around and be spiritually fed and get nice and fat and happy, spiritually fed, and do nothing about it. We are been set free to be servants. And the pattern that we see in the New Testament and in the pattern in the New Testament of serving is that saved people become serving people. What did the disciples do? Matthew, who was a tax collector, began following Jesus. Peter, who was a fisherman, threw down his nets. John and James, they were saved not to just keep doing what they wanted, but to follow Jesus and serve others. Saved people, people that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. We are saved to serve. Saved people become serving people, especially in the local church, which is the church, Coastline Baptist Church, the body of Christ in action. Ephesians 4 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how when you're saved, you're given, God gives us gifts. We're all gifted in different ways. We have different spiritual gifts. And Ephesians 4:12 says, what do we have those gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints. This is Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the encouraging, the building up of the body of Christ. We have to ask ourselves a question, where am I serving in my local church? Let's make it more specific. Where am I serving at Coastline? What role do I play at Coastline? Now, yes, I know some of we just are kind of getting into this volunteer mode. We've had meetings. Many of you have come and said, what can I do? And we're still getting those things figured out. So I know many of you are like, I want to do something. You just, what am I supposed to do? I'm just reminding all of us. I know many of you are itching to serve. So we're getting things figured out now. But for those maybe who haven't approached me or haven't even thought about it, think of where am I serving in my local church? We got the nursery. We have a need for a greeting team, someone that gets here early and is out in the lobby. I don't care if you have a badge or a lanyard or a t-shirt, one of our church t-shirts. By the way, we have extra. James, why don't you stand up real quick, James? I don't want to embarrass you. Turn around. Do a little turnaround. See? You've got that nice Coastline t-shirt. Give me a hand. Yeah, what a beautiful man. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We got extra t-shirts that we, some of you have been coming after we gave those out and we sold them for $10-$15 a piece. We want to get you a t-shirt. You can wear that. But we need someone that's here early that can be welcoming people coming in. We need people, we have people that clean the church, people that help with discipleship. Here's the truth. There's a place of service for every person. There's a place of service for every gift. Your gift may not be being up here doing announcements. You may say, man, if I step up these steps, I'm going to pass right out. That's not your gift then. We're not going to make you do that. We're not going to ask you to do that. We're not going to make you do anything. You have to be willing. But there's a place, there's a job, there's a duty for every person and for every gift.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, church. So what are you doing? Some of you may not know your gifts, but some of you do. I was just talking to a brother here at the church, and he has some musical ability. And we talked about, like, man, it would be cool to get a worship band up here. We have the tracks, and we're blessed with them. But I said, man, I just don't know. He said, you know, some people like to hide those talents sometimes. There may be people here that can play a guitar or play a piano or play the drums or can sing, and you're just kind of keeping that to yourself because, like, man, if they know that I have that skill and ability, they're going to ask me to help, and I don't know if I can do that. Oh, shun that thinking and get involved in your church and get involved at Coastline. We see in the beginning the call to serve in the local church. And it is a call. It is a call for every believer. A call. Not just a hobby. No, it's a calling for every Christian. We also see in the second part of that verse, we see, yes, we've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We see number two, the caution against consumer Christianity. The caution against consumer. Yes, Paul says, hey, you've been called unto liberty, freedom in Jesus Christ. And then he says, but don't use that freedom, don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Guess what, church? It's easy. It's natural for any of us to slip into a mindset that church is for me. What can the church do for me? What can I get out of the church? And oftentimes, man, it's so unhealthy for churches when there's members that are full. And I've been a part of churches like this, and I've probably been a member like this. It's like, well, what does the church do for me? How come they don't have better kids programs? How come they don't have this? How come they don't have that? Hey, why don't we do that? Hey, why don't we? And we start to think that church is just for me. What can it do for me? No, that's consumer Christianity. I'm going to find the church. And people like that, you know what they do? We call them church hoppers. They'll be at a different church every 3 months because nothing is good enough. We don't want that kind of a heart as a Christian. No, it's not. What can the church do for me? But what can I do for God's church, for God's people? Paul warns us not to use our spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ as an excuse for being passive or being selfish even sometimes. Now listen, do people leave churches for good reasons? Yes, yes, and yes. I'm not talking about that. My family had to leave our church. The one I talked about cleaning when I was young, that wasn't the church I stayed at. No, we had to leave. There's reasons to sometimes God moves people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are not satisfied anywhere they go. The music's not good enough. The coffee stinks. The kids programs don't have enough things going on. We don't do this. We don't do that. And listen, when in reality, if the coffee stinks, why don't you help with the coffee? Yeah. Woo! If the music stinks, why don't you help with the singing? If the kids programs, well, they're just not, then why don't you get involved in the kids programs and help out? You see what I mean? Listen, we must not be consumer Christians. Church isn't a show. It's not a show. Listen, do we do our best in our worship and in our slides and in all this stuff and make sure it's clean? Yes, because this is the house of God. This is the day of God. This is the Lord's day. We want to give our best, but it's not a show. It's not entertainment. It's not, hey, we're putting on the play for all the people that are here. Yay, great job. No, that's not what it is. The church isn't a show. It's a body. It's a body. And every member, every person that calls Coastline your home church, every person must function for it to be healthy. If I had no left arm, life would be much more difficult. If I had no right leg, it would be hard. If I had no thumb, you see, every member is important. Amen. No matter how big or small, no matter what gifts you may have or may not have, everybody matters. And guess what? We all have to work together. And by the way, this is not in the notes. Sometimes, especially in a church plant, when we're growing and we're keeping up with the growth, sometimes the pastor or someone say, hey, do you mind helping with this? I don't think this has happened yet. I'm just preemptively saying it. Hey, do you mind helping with this, Moses? Can you help with this? And Moses says, well, you know, that's not really my gift. You know. Now, I'm not asking Moses to help in the nursery. Don't worry. Okay? But oftentimes, especially in a church that's growing, and that's Coastline, praise the Lord, it's not about what you think you're good at. It's about what opportunities God lays before you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody's heart was not, you know, well, they need to do better. This is, or even, well, I can serve in this year, but not this. But everybody's heart was, whatever Coastline needs, I am willing to do. I may not even be good at it. I may even say to Pastor, you asked me to help with kids class. I really hate kids, but I'll help. Now, I may say, well, let's find someone else for you, you know. But it's that willing heart. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Listen, I know we have different gifts, but it must be a heart that's willing to serve, not be served. To serve, to give, not be given. Resist the temptation to sit on the sidelines. The enemy, the devil, would love nothing more than for you to sit in your seat even today and hearing all this being preached and say, yeah, that's really good. This church, we definitely need some more volunteers. My weeks are really busy, though, and, you know, Sunday is kind of my day to kind of chill, and I like coming to church and just listening, and the music's pretty good, and I like to be, and then I'm going to duck out really quick afterwards because, you know, I don't, no, may we resist that temptation. The enemy would love for you not to serve. The enemy would love for you to say, hey, I wish I could help, but fill in the blank. Don't let your faith become inward focused. Churches, it is so easy for churches to become inward focused. It is so easy for churches, especially as they grow and God begins to provide in big ways, for churches to get to a point when it's just, you know, we're serving each other only, we're being served, and we forget about what goes on outside of these four walls. Don't let your personal faith become, what can I get from this church? But no, may it always be, what can I do for other people? A healthy Christian, listen, a healthy Christian is an active Christian. A healthy Christian is an active Christian. One who gives, one who serves, one who contributes. We have to caution. Paul cautioned that church against, he said, don't lose your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. No. What was his last thought there in verse 13 and 14? Says, but by love serve one another. Don't let your liberty be used as an occasion for the flesh. No, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's the last part of this message and of this thought and of this scripture. Is number three, we see the command to serve in love. We see the command to serve in love. True service to the Lord, true service to the church and to its people flows out of love. Not guilt. I could try to guilt you. And by the way, I've been guilted into service. Or obligation even. I don't like saying this because I don't even know if I truly mean it. So I'm going to get down away from the platform for a minute. I want to say, man, if you're only doing it out of guilt, then maybe you're not ready to do it. Yeah. If you're only doing it because, well, if I don't serve, then, you know, pastor's going to keep hounding me, then maybe you shouldn't. Now, part of me also says, well, maybe you'll start serving and realize, oh, wow, I need this. So you need to just follow the Lord on that. You need to follow the Lord on that and maybe trust your pastor. But true love, true service to the Lord, to his people, flows out of love, not guilt, not obligation, no. Whether it's just holding a door at church, being a greeter that stands there, holding a sign and smiling as people drive by, or teaching a kids class, or maybe even picking up somebody for church. Bringing groceries to a neighbor that's in need. True service flows out of love. It all counts when it's done in love. And guess what? We talk about serving God outside these walls, and we need to. The local church is the training ground for your life of service to God and other people. This is the place to be trained, to have experience in serving and loving others, because there is always, always, always opportunities to serve others. When we serve one another here at Coastline, and we have a heart of love to serve God and to serve people in whatever area is needed, when we are serving God here at this church, it naturally spills out into the community. Amen. Oh, think about that, church. Come on now. When we make a choice to serve God in the local church, at Coastline Baptist Church, I'm going to serve, I'm going to find something, I'm going to get here early, I'm going to stay late, I'm going to clean, I'm going to teach, I'm going to help, I'm going to give, whatever it may be, I'm going to serve God out of love. Here in this place, when I come in these doors, it's not, what do I get from today? What's for me? Come on, pastor, give it to me good. Come on, singers, let's sing out. No, it's not that heart. But it's a heart that when I come in these doors, who can I help? Who can I encourage today? Who can I love on today? Who can I pray with today? What can I do? Hey, pastor, what can I do? Is there anything I can do, pastor? That's the heart. And when you have that heart, when you come into one of these three doors here at the church, and you have a heart that wants to serve, and you serve, guess what? Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, when you're not at the church, you're going to have a heart that's growing in service. It's your training ground. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. Having a heart that's excited, ready to serve. This week, I want you to do something. I'm all about putting your faith to the test. I'm all about putting your putting feet to your words. Hey, I do want to serve more. This week, pick one act of service that you can do in your church for next Sunday. You call me, pastor, I want help with this. You've heard me say a billion times of all the things we need help with. Tell me after. Pick one act of service you can do for this church. Maybe small. I don't care if it's big or small. One thing you can do in your church at Coastline. And then pick one you can do outside your church. Let your faith move your feet. Yeah. Actions speak louder than words and thoughts, obviously. So let's do something together. I have a video I want to show. Can we go to that video, Al? I think it's right there. Yeah. So this is my wife's lavender. It's grown each year. And I was out looking at it. And there was like hundreds of bees buzzing. The whole time, I got it in slow motion too. It's really cool to watch. So take a moment and watch. And I, in my own foolishness, I said, I don't even know what these bees are doing. I don't remember science class. And I watched, and it wasn't just one. It was scores and scores and scores of bees moving, flapping around, flower. See the ones in the back now? There's like, you can see 2, 3, 4. And they're everywhere. They're working together. They're busy. Remember, busy like a bee, buzzing around. They weren't bumping into each other. They weren't competing. Who can get the most? No. Each one had its job. Some were gathering nectar, obviously, pollinating, giving life to the plant. Working together. And I thought, as I was staring and getting this video, like, this is so cool. Plus, I wanted to see how good my slow motion camera was. And it's pretty good, isn't it? I was thinking, and the Lord gave me this thought for this message. It's each bee doing their part. And I thought, that's exactly what the local church should look like. Each member doing their part. Each person serving where they're gifted. Nobody doing everything. And there's people out there that love to serve so much, they would do everything. And you know what happens often? something we like to call burnout. They serve and serve and serve and serve and serve, and then the enemy says, man, you do everything. You do everything. Nobody wants to help. You're stuck doing everything. So what was once a joy to serve suddenly becomes a burden for somebody. Yeah, you know what? You're right. I am the only one that does anything around here. Huh. And then you start looking at people that aren't doing anything, and not because they don't want to, because they've never been asked, or they didn't know there was a need, they didn't know there were any expectations, and you start looking at people like, man, they're so lazy, they don't want to do anything for the church. I'm the only one that does it. And what was a joy in true service suddenly becomes a burden, and really, you're not doing any good for the Lord in that aspect. And then they end up quitting. Saying, I'm done. I'm giving up all my ministry. I don't want to serve anymore. I'm all that does anything. And then you're just unhappy. That is not what church is about. That is never what serving God is about. Guard your heart against that. But the bees buzzing, working together, when everybody's doing something, that's when the church flourishes. Can I say this? Not in my notes again. Over the last year, year and a half, against my flesh, because guess what? As a church, and Brother Franz told me this, he pastored for many years, he understood the struggle that I had sometimes, because Coastline's my baby. And my family who started with us 5 years ago, and my wife and children who my children have grown up, and we started just in a small little room. So yes, there are times when, Miss Janet, it's difficult for me to let go of things. And not because I think I'm the best at it, but because, oh man, it's like I feel like attached to it almost. And God has given grace, and God has brought people here that say, hey, can I help? And at first I'm like, no, just sit and enjoy the service. And I end up, without trying to, creating consumer Christians. The pastor, don't do that, Donald. Nope. No, and I've had to relinquish. Say, no, it's time for others to be involved. And guess what? We've seen God begin to use other people in serving and in doing things. Even today, serving and doing things. And guess what? Do you see in real time the church flourishing?
Right.
Beginning to grow? That's what I'm talking about today. The lavender wouldn't bloom without the bees, and the bees wouldn't survive without the lavender. And let me tell you, the church doesn't thrive when just a handful of people serve. The church doesn't grow and flourish when there's just a few select people that want to serve. No, it grows strong, it grows beautiful when every believer answers their call to serve. Amen, Pastor. Yes, it's all of us working together. It's all of us serving together. You need the church, and the church needs you.
Amen.
You need the church, and the church needs you. 1 Corinthians 12, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. There is a spot for you. There is a place for you. There is a job. There is a duty. There is a place of service for you. God brought you here not to sit and watch, but to serve.
Amen.
Don't wait to be asked. And many of you haven't, by the way. See, I did ask. I'm still waiting. I know. Listen, this is new for me too. This is new for me too. I'm like, man, people want to serve. What do? I guess I better find something for them to do. Don't wait to be asked, though. Don't think you're not needed. That's another thing. Oh, a lot of people are doing stuff. I guess there's not a place for me. Listen, the more people that ask, guess what? I don't want the same, person out doing that every single week. The more people that serve, then people switch spots and people can be in here worshiping while someone else is doing this. It's all working together. God has placed you here on purpose with purpose. He's placed you here on purpose with a purpose. So serve in your local church. And where is your local church? Right here, 657 Main Street, Route 28, across from the Pirate Museum, across from Captain Parker's, in the back rear area there. This is your local church, and it's time to get involved. Serve in your home. serve in your community, serve in love, because church, I believe we are called to serve.
Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.